Blog Talk Radio.
Praise be to God, everybody. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning and welcome to The Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda, and I am the co-pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries, INC, and we are a church beyond walls. Today we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to The Apostle Speaks. Praise be to God. At this time, I would like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary. We never like to start our service or our broadcast without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God by Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory,
God. Again, we're waiting on our speaker for this morning. In the meantime, I will play another selection. Mm-hmm.
I want you to put your mind and your focus on the Spirit of God. Allow His Spirit to come into your heart.
Sing hallelujah.
God bless you, Apostle Mother Wiggins. How are you this morning?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you this morning, Evangelist Hilda?
I'm blessed. Thank you. Praise be to God.
Amen. Yeah, you sound like you're blessed. Amen.
Oh, yeah. Like woke up this morning, didn't have much pain, but I'm here, and I am so thankful.
Amen. Praise God.
Yes,
that's what God likes to hear. Amen.
Amen.
No matter what. You know,
that's
no
right.
matter what we go through, you know what I'm saying? He wants to.
Yeah.
That's what he wants to hear. That we
yeah.
we have faith, that kind of faith in him, you know?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
I just want to say good morning to our radio listeners out there. And we're so glad to have you on board this morning.
Yes.
We know that tomorrow is Mother's Day. Amen.
Yes.
Praise
God.
Mother's
Praise
Day
God.
Tomorrow. Amen. And everybody be thinking about their mother. Most
yes.
everybody.
Yes. Amen.
I don't know nobody. Well, there's a few people that might have something with their mother, but everybody thinks about their mother. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Because the mother, no matter what, and when I think of the mother, I think of Jesus' mother. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Mary. I think of Mary. Amen.
Praise
so
God.
We all love our mother. We love our fathers, too. We love our fathers, too.
But...
Amen. Don't feel bad. Yours is coming up for Father's Day. Amen. Praise God. I just want to say good morning to our radio listeners out there, and I hope that all is well with you, that all is well with you and your family. And if you had any kind of a loss, we are in sorrow and we grieve right along with you.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. And I just want to let you know that our visionary, Apostle Wiggins, and his lovely wife, Nadine, they send you their greetings.
Amen.
Amen. They send you their love. And they hope that everything has gone well with you and your family. And I just want to give a shout-out to Evangelist Hilda, who comes on every day, Ava, from Tuesday to Saturday, and she opens up this program. Amen. And she also brings a sweet hour of prayer, and she brings a message on Friday, sometime on Thursday, sometime during the week. It depends on what's going on. Amen.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. So we thank God for Evangelist Hilda, and also Tuesday, we have our First Lady, and she brings a lesson. And also on Wednesday, it usually is our Apostle Wiggins, but right now it's going to be Sister Barbara. Amen.
Amen.
And I just want to let you know that Sister Barbara comes on she's going to be on right after this program with some beautiful poetry, so you don't want to miss it. And also I want to give a shout-out to Pastor Kathy and her husband, who are going to be on later with Talk in the Sanctuary. Amen. They're going to be on with Talk in the Sanctuary. And I just want to give a shout-out also to Apostle Jackson, Dr. V. Turner. And we hope that all is well with them and their family and their congregation. Amen. And we also want to give a shout out to Prophetess Washington. They have been a real blessing to this ministry. Amen.
Amen.
So we want to give a shout out to them. Praise God. So you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm turning my attention to Father God. Amen. Because without him, without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit, this program would not be. Amen.
Amen.
This program would not be. Amen. Because God raises up people that he wants to be a spokesman for the good news of the gospel. Amen. So he raises up pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, apostles for the perfecting of the saints and the work of the ministry. And that's what we're about, the work of the ministry. Amen. So wherever you are, you could be in this country or any other part of the world, I'm going to say a prayer to Father God, and then I'm going to sing one song. Amen.
Amen.
So wherever you are in this country, you could be in India, you could be in Africa, you could be in China, Russia, the Ukraine, you could be in the Caribbean, you could be in Haiti, you could be in America, you could be in Australia, You could be in Paris, France, wherever you are. You could be in Britain, you know, or you could be in Brazil. Amen. Mm-hmm. There's so many places where you could be and listening to the sound of my voice. But we're going to come together as one, because when Jesus comes back, he's coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. Amen. He's coming back for his body. But yes, Jesus is the foundation of the church. Yes. Amen. And the church belongs to God. Amen. Yes. Praise yes. God. So as I say this short prayer, we're just going to bow our heads, and then I'm going to sing a song. Amen. Praise God. A song of to give you hope. Amen. To give you to strengthen you and give you a hope. Amen. Praise Amen. God. Father God, I acknowledge your presence, and we give you the highest praise. You are the God that is full of love and compassion. During this pandemic, there are many countries that are going through hard times right now. They are suffering in sorrow and pain over the loss of their loved ones, their jobs, and the freedom to move about as they like. Their lives have become very disruptive. Many people have been distressed, depressed. Some feel to hurt themselves. Some feel to commit suicide. So I bring them before you. Father God, I bring them before your throne today, and I ask that you will build them up where they are torn down, strengthen them and restore them, Father. Comfort them and give them hope of a brighter tomorrow, and also the government of each country, Father God. Help them all to come through this trying time. Father God, whatever you do, Father God, I know that it is for the best. Amen. Because you can see way ahead of us, Father God. You can see the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. And your eyes are in every place. You are in every place, Father God. Father God, you have all power. All power is in your hands. So whatever you do, Father God, we really love and appreciate it, because we know that whatever you do is for our best. Our best, Father God. So we just want to let you know how much we love you, we appreciate you, we adore you, Father God, and we love you. We thank you for Jesus, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, we thank you for your angels, your warring angels, we thank you for our guardian angel, Lord. Father God, we thank you for our enemies. Amen.
Amen.
So we thank you, thank you, thank you, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So right now I'm going to sing a song, and you know this song. You've heard this song before. Amen. And just listen to the words of the song. If you don't know the song, just listen to the words of it, because it's meant to strengthen you. Amen. And we need to be strengthened in this time. Amen. God knows that. And that's why God picked out this song. Amen. God picked it out. You know what happened? First, he gave me a song, right? Because usually on the weekend, sometimes God gives me songs he want me to sing. Amen. And I'm laying there, and all night long, the song was going through my mind, right? Going through my mind. So I got up, and I was looking for the song, because I didn't remember some of the words on the song. Do you know that song left me? I couldn't remember the song at all. I didn't remember the song. I said, oh, my God. In its place, he put another song. He said, this is what I want you to sing. So I'm singing this song for y'all, but it's
Amen.
Coming from God. Amen.
Amen.
Coming from God.
Amen.
He gets the glory and the honor. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Be strong in the Lord and be of good courage. Your defender is he who is always the same. Mount up with wings as an eagle ascending. Victory is sure when you call on his name. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, and be of good courage, for he is your guide. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, and for rejoice, for the victory is yours. Put on the armor the Lord hath provided. Place your defense in his unfailing care. Trust him, for he will be with you in battle, lighting your path to avoid every snare. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, and be of good courage, for he is your guide. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, and rejoice, for the victory is yours. Be strong in the Lord, and be of good courage. Your mighty commander will vanquish the foe. Fear not the battle, for the victory is always his. He will protect you wherever you go. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, and be of good courage, for he is your guide. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, for rejoice, for the victory is yours. Be strong in the Lord, and be of good courage. Your mighty commander will vanquish the foe. Fear not the battle, for the victory is always his. He will protect you wherever you go. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, and be of good courage, for he is your guide. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, and rejoice, for the victory is yours. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, and be of good courage, for he is your guide. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, and rejoice, for the victory is yours. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
Be strong in the Lord, and rejoice, for the victory is yours. So in other words, no matter what you're going through, the victory is yours. Amen.
Amen.
And God will take care of it. He'll bring the solution to you. Amen.
Yes.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Praise
so, Everett, God knows what you need, and that was it. Amen. Praise God. So, right now, I'm getting ready to go into this word today. Amen. And before I say the word, I'm going to say a word of prayer. Amen. You can get your Bibles, your pens, and your papers out if you want choose to do so. Father God, I just thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak a word into your people's lives today. You know exactly what they need. I don't have to figure it out. Thank God for that. Because I don't know their heart, Father God. You do. You know their heart, and you know exactly what they need to hear. Amen. And I'm just one of your spokesmen, Father God. Amen. So as I go forth today, Father God, I should protect that word as it goes into their spirit, because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but you came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So as I go forth today with the leading of the Holy Spirit, may it be all of you and none of me. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen. Praise
amen.
God. So today I'm coming from Mark chapter 14 and that's verses 1 through 11. That's Mark 14, 1 through 11. Amen. It says, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft, put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box. Amen. Of ointment, of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always. And whensoever you will be, ye may do them good. But me, you have not always. In other words, I'm not always with you, but the poor is always with you. She has done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of for a memorial to her, of her. In other words, she will be remembered throughout the world. Wherever the gospel is preached, she's going to be remembered. And Judah Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray Jesus unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray Jesus. Amen. So while she was anointing Jesus with oil, you know what I mean, and showing her gratitude and everything, Judas Iscariot was betraying Jesus. Amen. So there's a contrast there between the two. Between the two. Let me ask you a question that I hope that you might be brutally honest in answering. Have you in your life as a follower of King Jesus ever made a sacrifice of extravagant love? Can you recall a time when you did something that really cost you? A time when you actually went without something you really wanted because of a sacrifice of extravagant love for Jesus? The sad fact is that we are good at giving Jesus our leftovers and hand-me-downs. Amen? We are very good at giving Jesus our leftovers and our hand-me-downs. In Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 11, we see something truly remarkable, an indisputable sacrifice of extravagant love. And we also see the tale of two lives that could not stand in greater contrast when it comes to true and unreserved devotion to our Lord. A woman who gave her very best and and a man named Judas, who betrayed the Son of God. Of the woman, Jesus said, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told in memory of her. And this is from Mark chapter 14, verse 9. Of the man Judas Iscariot, our Lord said, it would have been better for that man if he had not been born. And this is Mark chapter 14, verse 21. So my title for today is Extravagant, a Sacrifice of Extravagant Love. Amen. A Sacrifice of Extravagant Love. So now we're going to look at extravagant acts of love. Will be public. And this is Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. The backdrop of this story is the Jewish feast of Passover and unleavened bread in Mark chapter 14, verse 1. Jewish persons were flocking to Jerusalem to celebrate, but in the shadow of secrecy, the chief priests and scribes called the Sanhedrin were seeking to arrest Jesus and kill him. Mark says that they hoped to arrest Jesus in a treacherous way. In the NIV, it says some sly way, you know, like the devil. The devil is cunning and the devil is sly. So it's like in some sly, cunning way. So you know that this is not coming from God. This is coming from the enemy, the devil. So sounds like they want to use trickery. And that's another thing of the devil, when he uses trickery.
Yes.
And who does this remind you of? Like I said before, it reminds you of the devil, who is loaded with tricks. So they decided to wait and arrest him after the feast because there may be rioting among the people.
Mm-hmm.
However, things would proceed on God's timetable, not theirs. And Christ, the Passover lamb, would be sacrificed for us at the right time. You see, because even though they had a certain timing, they didn't know that God had a timing also. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
You know, he does the same thing with us. A lot of times we have a timing about something, but God also has a timing. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So
yes.
We can't understand why God didn't move. Because he didn't move because he has a timing.
That's right.
You have one timing, but God has another timing. And
mm-hmm.
if you know, he might tell you his timing, but you can't, your whole thing is, I don't know if he ain't moving fast enough. God is not moving fast enough, but God has a timing.
Yes, he does.
How many of you out there know that no matter what we see or no matter what people do, God is still in charge?
Yes,
you see? That shows that God is in charge of time,
yes.
And he has a set time for the sacrifice of his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because God had everything all set up, you see, because that was God came down in the flesh when he came down. Amen. He had a timing. He had a fixed timing on everything. So suddenly, in Mark chapter 14, verse 3, the scene shifts to a home in Bethany of a man named Simon.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus apparently healed him of leprosy.
Yes.
John tells us the event happened 6 days before the Passover. So Mark's account is somewhat of a flashback. In the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 3, also informs us that the lady who anointed Jesus' head and feet was Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, the one Jesus had raised from the dead. Amen. Isn't that remarkable? Mm-hmm. Mark says, in Mark it says, Mary broke the jar and poured it on Jesus' head. What she did in full display of a room full of people, in other words, she did it publicly. It was done against cultural convention because a woman at that time normally would not approach a man in this setting except to serve him food. Although what Mary did wasn't normal, she didn't care about it. She knew it wasn't normal, but she didn't care. You see, even though she did not have a real standing in her community, you see what I mean? She didn't care about it. She just wanted to get to Jesus and do this thing. And even though she had no real importance among the people, she still wanted to serve, bless, and love her Lord, the Lord Amen. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see? Mm-hmm. And that's how it is with us sometimes today. No matter what things go on, no matter what circumstances go on, we still continue to love, bless, and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We still, because we love God. We love Jesus. Amen. So we still continue to serve him no matter what we go through. I know there are many of you out here today who are trying to do what Mary did. Christ first loved you, and now you are trying to reciprocate. Return that love by giving him the praise, the glory, and the honor. Serving him, singing for him, dancing for him, blessing him, amen, and loving him. And you're also going about giving the good news of the gospel, amen. So Mary looked at Jesus as her Lord and Master. She deeply loved him and would have done anything for him. And she did not care who heard or who saw. Her devotion to him ranked high above other concerns, and many of us today feel the same way. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
Because we know that God has an unconditional love for us also.
Yes.
You see, God first loved us, and then we began to love God. Amen. God began to show us what true love was. Amen. Mm. His agape love. We're going to look at extravagant acts of love will often be criticized. And this is in Mark chapter 14, verses 4 and 5. Mary's act of astonishing, a radical devotion did not go unnoticed. It also did not go without significant criticism. This criticism was led by Judas Iscariot and the others, and in self-righteous pride, they questioned both her motive and her actions, and they asked her, why was she wasting this precious, fragrant oil on Jesus? You see how they felt about him? They didn't love Jesus like Mary did.
No,
they said, why are you wasting this ointment on him?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
When they might be able to sell it for 300 denarii,
mm-hmm.
you know, which means a year's salary. And this money could be given to the poor. Why waste it on Jesus? You know, they forgot all the miracles he did. They forgot how he raised the dead and, you know what I mean, he healed the sick and all of that. In fact, they didn't even care about that. They cared nothing about it. All they knew was they wanted to kill him. Amen.
Amen.
Because he was a threat to them. You know what I mean? He was showing them up. Amen. So several important observations can be made at this point. First, the disciples demeaned not only the woman, Mary, but also Jesus. And second, There was some willing. There was some willing to be poor in their possessions in order to be rich in their devotion to Jesus. And third, the world and sadly many in the church will never have a problem with moderate, measured devotion to Christ. They will have little or no problem with a comfortable and convenient Christianity. You see, in other words, our love for Christ, not all of us, but some of us, our love for Christ mightn't be all that deep.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it mightn't be all that deep. You know, maybe you want things. You might want to do something good, be seen as doing good things in the church or outside of the church, but you really don't have a deep love for Christ, or you really don't have a deep relationship with God. You see? So this is like a convenient and comfortable Christianity. You see, so when you don't have that deep relationship with God and everything like that, God really can't use you in a way right now. You know what I mean? He can't use you. You know what I mean? He can't send you out. You don't know what your destiny is going to be because you don't have that relationship with God. You don't have that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, right now I'm going to leave this for today, and we're going to come back to this next week. We're going to see what happened with Judas Iscariot. Amen. And I hope you got something out of this message today, and I turn it back now in the hands of Evangelist Hilda.
Amen. Praise God. We want to thank Apostle Mother Wiggins for that wonderful word this morning. I think that deserves a hand clap praise. And before we have Apostle Mother Wiggins give us the call to salvation and the benediction, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our poetry at this time. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Evangelist and Apostle Mother Wiggins. I'm blessed and highly favored.
Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, nobody responded. I was saying, how are you doing?
No, we said good morning.
I said good morning. Oh, you probably didn't hear me.
Said, how are you doing? I heard you say good morning. I said, how are you doing?
Oh,
it's okay.
Amen.
Oh, the head. Here go. Here, God bless you. I just want to say happy Mother's Day to everybody. Mother, I enjoyed that spirited song this morning.
Amen.
Before, but it's catchy, as I was saying. Catchy
Amen.
Song. God bless your heart. And my poem is coming from my book entitled The Profundity of God, which is a spiritual anthology in poetry. And the name of the poem, very apropos for this weekend, actually, it's entitled mm-hmm. Happy Mother's Day.
Oh,
and the first part is done acrostically. It's H. Hallelujah, he reigns. A, able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think. P, prepared to work his plan. P, passionate with purpose. Y, Yahweh. M, marvelous in his sight. O, otherworldly yet present. T, Triune, Trinity God, H, healer, helper, our hope. E, everlasting and eternal. R, royally regal. S, sovereign savior. D, divine destiny. A, Alpha and Omega. Y, youthful. Wishing you a happy Mother's Day. Some are mothers. Others only act that way. Some are fathers who had to be mothers too. Some never gave birth, but somehow they were there too. You may have lost a child. I'm so sorry for you. But you're still someone's mother, and you can always be a mother to someone. Look around you. See who needs you to nurture that motherless one like none other. Can anyone be a mother? God alone has the answer. He can answer that. If we're speaking biologically, he handles all of that, you bet. But if you can just love a child unconditionally, then you can be a mother. It's not too late, no matter how old you are. Just try it. You'll see. Happy Mother's Day. And in the book, I didn't put a scripture, but I'm going to add this scripture. Psalm 107, verse 43, it says, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the kindness of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The loving kindness of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. I thought that was beautiful. That was really beautiful. And there are many people out there that would love a mother, you know what I'm saying? That, like, doesn't have to be your natural mother, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I've had people gravitate towards me, you know, even some of my caregivers, you know what I mean? I kind of mothered some of my caregivers.
Exactly.
You know,
that's just right.
You know, if you don't, the person doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to birth that person.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it could be a relationship with somebody. I'm sorry?
It's special, and that means a lot.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. So
especially
you don't have to.
Don't...
Go right ahead.
Especially when they don't have or they've lost their mother or their mother neglected them or was abusive or, you know, they just weren't treated right. And then someone
That's
else comes into their life and they love them like they should have been loved. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That means
Amen.
So very
That's
much.
True.
At least they get to see. At least they get to see a mother's love. That's
mm-hmm.
important. We need that. I don't care how
That's
tough
fine.
You are. Or how tough you think you are. You need a mother's love. Amen.
That's right. You know, the God told me, says you're going to have many daughters.
Mm-hmm.
That's what God told me.
And that's true.
You're going to have many daughters. And that is true.
Yeah,
I know it's true. I haven't said anything, but I know it's true.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have many daughters because I only had one daughter. And that... You know, well, it was a problem there. But he told me in the word and everything, he says, you're going to have many daughters. You're going to have many.
Amen.
Because God is able to give you what you don't have.
You
know
yes.
what I'm saying? Like, he's able to inject it there. And maybe they need a mother
right.
kind of image. You know what I'm saying? But
Amen.
He said he's going to have many daughters. That's what he told me. He told me that a long time ago.
He was the father of many. You're Abraham at mother of many.
Yes.
Oh, the money, mother of many. Right.
Yes.
Right. Amen.
Absolutely.
Praise God.
Absolutely.
God bless you for that.
So right now, I'm getting ready to do this where anyone out there who. One, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. This is a time right now for you. Amen. That God has made an opening for your doorway. where you can accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. That's what this program is really all about, the good news of the gospel. Amen. So all you have to do is repeat this short prayer after me, and you'll be able to enter into God's kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Just repeat this after me. Today I give you my heart. Wash it and cleanse it.
Today I give you my heart. Wash it and cleanse it.
I repent of my sins and I ask your forgiveness.
I repent of my sins and I ask your forgiveness.
I thank you for forgiving me, Lord, and I forgive myself.
I thank you for forgiving me, Lord, and I forgive myself.
I believe that you raised your only son, Jesus, from the dead.
I believe that you raised your only son, Jesus, from the dead.
I now take him into my heart.
I now take him into my heart.
And I confess him as the Lord and Savior over my life.
And I confess him as the Lord and Savior over my life.
Now, if there's any of you out there that have said this short prayer, we are so excited about you. And we welcome you into the body of Christ. I know that all heaven is rejoicing. If you don't have a church home, the Holy Spirit has came to reside now inside of you. If you don't have a church home, just ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to the right place where you can hear the word, you can grow, and you can have fellowship with other believers. I know that the churches are starting to open up now, or either if you want to go online, you want to go on Zoom or one of those programs, amen, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, amen. I know that you wonder about the Holy Spirit, but when you said that short prayer, something happened, something spectacular. You don't see it right now, but you will as time goes on, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So again, we welcome you into the body of Christ. As it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, a call to holy living. So think clearly and exercise control. Look forward to a gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Now may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another, and let us all say amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. So at this time, I'd like to ask our guests online to give a brief response on how they enjoyed the word this morning while we're waiting on our Pastor Kathy for talk in the sanctuary. Amen. So we're going to start with my co-host, Sister Barbara. God bless you. How were you this morning, and how did you enjoy the word this morning?
I'm blessed and highly favored. I enjoyed the message this morning talking about that oil, that anointed oil that was put on precious Jesus, and people thought it was a waste, you know, as she said. Why are you putting that, you know, wages for a whole year for somebody on this man? And as she said, as Mother said, they forgot about the things that he had done.
Yes.
The raising of the dead, the healing of the land, the healing the lepers, and turning water into wine, all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
They forgot. Amen. Or they may not have even cared. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's a story
that we have to remember. Amen. Sometimes you do your best, and when it all gets down to it, people look at you for the money.
Yes.
That's right. Yes.
They think about the money, what was
that's
wasted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so thank you for starting that series, Mother, and calling to our the goodness of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
He could have got mad and reminded them himself.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do it. He's not that kind of God.
No,
that's
not
right.
That kind of God. Amen. So thank you again. God bless your heart.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. It is a beautiful, beautiful mm-hmm. message. And, you know, like, even today, what are we willing to give up and to sacrifice for the love of God?
That's right.
Because whatever it is that you're holding tight on to, you cannot take that with you.
True.
And that is not going to save you. Only
mm-hmm.
the love of God is going to protect you and save you, and that, you know, that you'll be able to see the kingdom, to see his kingdom by sacrificing our life, our souls,
mm-hmm.
our every thought should always be on him and not on
mm-hmm.
the things of the world. I mean, oil, she loved it, Christ, so much that she
mm-hmm.
was willing to sacrifice that expensive oil, which she knew she couldn't take it with her anywhere. And
mm-hmm.
she was preparing him for his burial.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And
yes.
and just thinking about it, it really, really, like, wow, what can I give up for Christ?
Yes.
You know? And that's something that we really, really have to think about in this day and age. Back then, you know, that oil was very expensive to the people back then, but they were
mm-hmm.
more worried about, you know, the money part of it. They didn't care about the oil or about Jesus or what Mary was doing. They just want to know, why are you putting the oil on him when we can sell this oil and get how much money for it to feed the poor?
That's why he said
the poor you're going to always have with you.
That's
but you're
true.
Not going to always have me. You
mm-hmm.
know, so they weren't worried about Jesus. They were worried about the money, especially Judas.
Yes,
Judas,
yes.
Even Judas sold him out for 30 pieces of silver.
Mm-hmm.
And then what good did it do him? He ended up, you know, dead anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, we don't know if you asked for forgiveness before you took your own life, or so it's so many different versions of how he died. You don't know. You know,
mm-hmm.
but I go by what the Bible says, how he
mm-hmm.
did, you know.
Yeah.
It does have two versions.
Yes.
One said he burst open, his bowels burst open in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other one says he hung himself.
Right.
Yeah, I think he committed suicide.
Yeah.
So either way, he as you said, died.
Mm-hmm.
And he died sorry for what he had done to Jesus. He
mm-hmm.
didn't know, I guess, that it would affect him that way. He was thinking about the money.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what?
Yeah.
It was divine providence. It was just what was meant to happen.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was meant to
happen. It was meant to die. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Because I think that was, you know, like everything that was being told in the Bible was all part of God's plan, how from
mm-hmm.
the beginning right up until his death.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. Well, here we go again. I'm going to play a selection, and then after the selection, Sister Barbara, if you have a topic or Mother have a topic that we want to discuss, then we will do that after I...
Before you do that, I have to say that I have to go on Zoom for Pre-Mother's Day program at 12 o'clock.
Okay.
So I have to get dressed. I'll be listening and I'll contribute as much as I can, but I won't be able to basically facilitate it.
Okay. Okay. That's fine. So So anyway, I'm going to maybe Mother have a topic that she wants to talk about, or we, you know, just pick anything that
we'll
we want to
talk
about.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
If Pastor Cassie doesn't show up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then I'll just play a selection.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
I can't help but
Praise God.
Amen.
Well, haven't heard anything from our speaker this morning, so Mother, you have something that you would like to talk about this morning?
Yeah, I think two things.
Oh, wonderful.
I was listening to a sermon, and they talked about the speaker talked about that the greatest sermon that we have, you know, like me and Christ who give sermons, it could be the fivefold ministers, the evangelists, or the teachers, or the pastors, prophets, apostles. He said the greatest sermon that we could give is our life.
Amen.
How we live.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
The greatest sermon. So I think that's something good that we could talk about. You know what I mean? What does that mean to you, Evangelist Hilda, about the greatest, I know that you give sermons, what would you want your life to reflect? If your life was like you presenting your life as a sermon to people, what would you think you would want your life to reflect?
Well, for me, I would want my life to reflect as a light unto the Lord. So when people when they see you, if you're a believer and you're in Christ and they see you, they don't have to ask you if you are a Christian, because they could see it in you. Like it's like a glow that's on your face, or, you know, your appearance, the way you walk, the way that you act, and, you know, it would give a person the impression, oh, she must be a Christian or he must be a Christian, so they don't have to ask you. And the way that you speak about Christ, you could feel it coming out of you, the Holy Spirit that is shining from within you is reflecting on the outside.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, so you want to point towards Christ?
Yes.
Point towards Christ and how you're living.
Right, in your living, because, you know, like, okay, you still have people out there who look like they're living right, but some of them are not living right, because, you know, you could portray yourself as one person in the church, and then you can prepare yourself as another person in the outside. Yes. Because, you know, like, you don't know what's going on, you know, in a, in the home. In your home or in your other lifestyle, when you're with, you know, your family members or you're with your friends, you're acting like them. You know, because if you say you gave up that kind of life and yet you still socializing and doing the same things that you portrayed that you have given up, then you're just portraying two sides of you. One side in the world and the other side when you're in the church, you're acting like a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot serve two masters. It's either you're going to give up one and go live for the other, or you can't serve them both. It's like you cannot serve the outside world. You can be in the world, but you don't have to be of the world. You don't have to do the things that other people does in the world. You know, the Bible doesn't say that we have to completely give up, you know, our families or things like that, unless they're doing things that they ain't supposed to be doing, and you don't want to fall, you know, back into that circle. because, like, you know, you got some family members that, you know, they love to party, they love to drink, and if you're not in that lifestyle anymore, but yet you still go, you know, on holidays or special occasions, so you can be easily tempted if you're around those things. But if you're not around those things, you know, and this is where we have to always be in prayer, always asking God for strength, because it's easy to fall into Satan's trap. That's why you know, you don't put yourself in those situations where you can be easily tempted.
That's true.
Because we are human beings. We're not Christ. Because Christ, the devil could not tempt him. But for us, we're just mere human beings, and we fall short. So, yes, we are going to be tempted. Oh, one little drink is not going to help you. Lies you tell. Because you start with that one little sip, and then you get that taste of, oh, my God. Ooh, and it make you feel so nice. Bam. There you go with a second one, a third one, a fourth. And next thing you know, oh, you done committed sin. You're right there in it. So don't put yourself, I don't put myself into those kind of temptations.
Situations.
Situations that they will definitely, because, you know, you are the second person that knows your body. God knows you better than you know yourself.
Know yourself. That's
so
right.
So if you know where you are weak, you stay away from that part
from those
of
things. That's true.
Yes.
You said
exactly.
Something really good there.
Yes. You stay away from those things.
See, if you know you're
but
weak.
Now, you know, since I am, you know, serving God and gave him my life and everything, I can be around people that's drinking and stuff, and I don't get tempted by it.
I understand.
Yeah,
you have to,
you know,
it's like
I
you have to wait till you get strong.
Yes, I'm there. I'm saying, Lord, please, just give me the strength just to. And on top of that, I don't stay too long anyway. You know, I just come just to show my appreciation.
Yeah, just to be
and
sociable
whatnot.
And things
yeah.
like that. I understand.
Right, because, you know, we don't have to just give up family relationships and things, you know, totally.
That's right. That's
you know,
right.
You
can
still
you can
socialize
them.
With
you know
your family,
mean,
but
you, what you're saying.
Right. You don't have to fall into that trap of, you know, the alcohol and the, you know, music and stuff like that. Because trust and believe, that music and stuff will get in your spirit. It will.
That's
you find
true.
Yourself sitting there clapping your feet or clapping your hands, and next thing you hear, your head is bebopping to the music.
Well, let me tell you something that happened to me years ago.
Uh-huh.
Years ago when I first, you know, I was in the Lord. I was in the Lord. My mother knew God too, you know. And
my mother did too, yeah.
Yeah. You see, God is a jealous God.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So sometimes people mightn't understand why you ain't dancing to the worldly music. It's because God is jealous. God is jealous. I mean, his whole thing is like, well, if you ain't dancing in the church and you can't dance to me, how you out there dancing to this worldly music? You understand? But let me tell you what happened to me and my mother. I'm going to tell you something that happened to me and my mother.
Uh-huh.
My uncle used to give these excursions, or you know what I mean, like to different places where they have the food, they have music going on and stuff like that.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
you know,
we
all
used
kind of
to
nice
take
things
them
going
too.
On.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We used to go out on excursions and stuff like that, right?
Yes.
My mother and I. Mm-hmm. And my uncle was very known, you know, to give her all these, and it was really nice, nice places he would take us to, you know, where
yeah.
they had trees and stuff and like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they had food there, and they had down, you can go down and dance. They had music going on and stuff like that.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. So I was there sitting up there with my mother, and the music came on, right? I was young. And I went down there and I started dancing. I was in Christ, mind you. I was
uh-huh.
in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I went down there and I was dancing with, you know, everybody, dancing with the fellas and stuff and all of that. You know what I'm saying? I think my mother came down too and she was dancing.
Yes.
But the thing is that God is jealous. And I mm-hmm. knew, it looked like I even though I didn't know that much about God, I knew that he didn't like, there's certain things he didn't like. He was jealous, right?
Yes.
And do you know that I got sick as a dog after that whole thing was over and I was at home, I got sick as a dog. I was so sick.
Oh,
and it
no.
looked like I knew it was God. God was angry because I was there on that dance floor dancing, doing that dancing. And my
yes.
mother, too. Let me tell you what happened to my mother. My mother fell down the stairs.
Oh, no.
Yep. My mother fell down the steps. I knew it was God. I told my mother, I said, Ma, I said, I think that was God. I said, because I think he's jealous. You know, he doesn't like when you be dancing to the worldly music and stuff like that. That's why if I go someplace and they playing worldly music and stuff, I will not dance. I said, now, if I'm not dancing in the church, I am
right.
certainly not going to be out here
dancing
this worldly
dance,
music.
Right.
You know
exactly.
what I mean? I'm an apostle and I'm dancing worldly music. I said, I'm not going to do it. Because I had went to my sister's, you know, my sister gave a something for her son, you know, a celebration.
Yeah,
and she was begging me to come up and dance, and I said, I can't. I'm not doing it. I know, Father God, he doesn't like, you know what I mean? His whole, God will get jealous. He'll get jealous
Absolutely.
Over, just like he did the Israelites.
Yes.
With you know what I mean?
When
he
they were
after
dancing
the idols
with the,
and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
God, he'll get jealous about it. I'm not doing that. I said, you know what I mean? I'll sit here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll get food. I'll enjoy the music a little bit, and that's it.
That's
I said,
it.
I ain't getting up to dance.
Exactly.
I would not get up to dance. But that was the reason, because years and years ago, I mean, I was so, there's no words, and I knew it was God. I just, it's like I knew that God was not pleased. And see, at that time, I wasn't repenting. Like I am now. I didn't know that much would repent.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I told my mother, and then when my mother fell down them steps, I said, oh, shoot. I said, Mom.
Yeah, that's
I was
it.
Telling my mother, I said, Ma, I said, God is jealous. He
mm-hmm.
don't want us dancing to this worldly
nope.
music.
That's
he don't want
right.
it. Not out,
mm-hmm.
out in public. You know what I mean? He doesn't want that. So
no,
I just wanted to insert that. You
know, mm-hmm.
to insert that.
Because you're right, Mother. That used to happen to me when I first came into Christ and I was, you know, baptized and everything. And
mm-hmm.
still, you know, afterwards, all of my coworkers and friends and them, they were having parties. They invited me to come to the parties. You know, like I would. In my little pea brain mind,
mm-hmm.
I felt it was okay for me to go to the party after the Sabbath, you know?
Yes.
Like, I wouldn't go to a party from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. So after
uh-huh.
it got dark and then it was time to go to the party, then I said, okay, I can go to the party, and I'm there at the party and everything, and I'm dancing and having a little wine. And so I was like, oh, my goodness, this is not what it's supposed to be. I felt so guilty. You know, like when you are so guilty of something that your heart starts to palpitate, that's
yeah, I think
how
that was, I,
felt.
I think that was the Holy Spirit convicting you in your heart.
Absolutely.
But you had the Holy Spirit.
I told my friends to do. I told them when they used to invite me to Palms, I'm sorry, I can't come. You know, I make all kinds of excuses. I can't come. No, thank you so much. Or they'll send me the invitation and I never show up.
Well, let me tell you,
I can't go through this, man. I felt so guilty till I made my own. I was sick. Inside, I was sick. I was like, I cannot do this. This is
I used to go to the parties, right? I used to go with my, the people, the young people that I ran with, their father was the pastor of the church.
Oh, wow.
You know, so we were all young together, so they would have parties, and they had the food there and all of that and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what happened to me? Not one person would ask me to dance. Not
right,
one. And you know another thing that would happen to me? I felt like I was out of place. I began to feel like I was out of place. I was like, and I said, gee whiz, I feel like I'm out of place.
Yes.
And nobody, the whole night would go by, not one person would come up and, it's like God put a
stamp.
A fence
there, like
me.
A stop sign. Nope, do not go, do not approach this person.
Yep, he said, not here. And at the time, I had no idea, eventually, that God was going to raise me up to be an apostle. You understand?
Right.
I had no idea of it. And it's like he built a fence around me. He built
That's
a gate.
Right.
You know what I mean? There was nobody. Nobody would like, they wouldn't even approach me.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean? And I said, there's something wrong here.
We knew what was wrong.
No, I didn't know what was wrong at the time. I didn't know that God was going to use me in the future because he sees what he's going to do with you when you get older in the future.
Yes.
So I had no idea of anything. You understand? I just brought my Bible and said, when the pastor said something, I said, I said, hallelujah. You know what I mean? Because you don't know the word that good. You wasn't reading the Bible. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? It's like he put a fence around me. You know what I mean? And I began to feel like I was out of place.
Exactly. And also I used to feel like I'm different from other people. So why am I trying to be like them if I already gave my life to Christ? There's no need for me to imitate them. I'm supposed to imitate the life of Christ.
Yes.
And that
I didn't have that kind
being
of attitude.
A good example because I had small sisters in them. So I had to be a good example for them, not standing, you know, hanging out in the pizza shop, dancing to the worldly music and whatnot.
Yeah.
One day I was in the pizza shop dancing and whining and all of that. And who was standing there? And all my sisters and other people was cheering me on. I was wild then. And, honey, who was standing behind me looking at me, whining and stuff, was my mother.
Your pastor?
No, my mother.
Your mother. Oh, your mother.
Because,
Oh,
my goodness. When, honey... My mother beat me that day.
Oh, my God.
So you want to be this? You want to be that, And, you know, back in those days, they ain't beat you with no switches and stuff. My mother used to use extension cords.
Oh, wow.
She wants you to feel that. So, honey, after that day, I never danced in the pizza shop again.
Mm-hmm.
When they was like, come on, Hilda, dance. No. The last time I danced in this piece of shop, my mother tore my behind up. No, thank you. Mm-mm. You ain't got to hit me but one time. That was it.
Mm-hmm. I used to feel out of place. Because, you know, when you're young, you don't realize that the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. Not unless you are taught that.
I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit back then. All I knew was that on Friday night, I would go to prayer meeting. Wednesday night, prayer meeting. Friday night, prayer meeting. Saturday, church.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, and Sunday
was
house cleaning.
Yeah.
That's what we
used to do. Because I used to run from the Holy Spirit because I felt this thing with me, right? And I would say, what in the world is that? You know what
exactly.
I mean? I feel like I have another person with me. That's what I used to say. But I
That's
think he was
right.
trying to make me aware that he was with me. You see, and I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And so the fella that I was with, you know, one day I went and I sat in his lap. I was crying. And I told him, I said, I don't know. I feel like there's something with me, and I don't know what the devil it is. I didn't know it. Because of the churches I went to, they didn't talk that much about the Holy Spirit.
No, they didn't.
That's why I didn't know.
No, we didn't know nothing about no Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. No, just God. That's all they really, back in the day, was preaching about was God. They didn't even preach about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they talk about
no
John
Jesus,
and what
no
John
Holy
did.
Spirit, just God.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they talk about you know what God did and stuff. That's why I say you know what I mean. They've gotten more wisdom. Maybe because they've gotten really more into the Word, they've gotten more wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the Word. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at that time, I don't think they had the understanding like they have today. They have a better understanding of the Word.
Oh, yes,
you know.
Absolutely.
But
absolutely.
I was running. I was running from the Holy Spirit. Running. And I said, what in the world is this with me?
Yeah. I mean, I mean, like, every time, like, you know, when I used to do something that was not pleasing to God, And when I used to, even though I said my prayers before I went to sleep, but I always had nightmares. And it was always like I'm being pulled down into a dark hole, you know, and I'm screaming, but nobody's hearing me scream. And I'm screaming, and that thing was steady. That spirit or whatever it was steady pulling me down further and further. And I'm screaming until I screamed out, Jesus, help me, please.
Mm-hmm.
And that was
I think that was a demonic spirit.
Yes, exactly.
And when you said the word Jesus, that thing let you go, right?
It let me go. And
that's when I used to
hit my husband in the side, and I said, did you not hear me screaming for you? Why you didn't help me? How can I hear you if I'm sleeping? You wasn't screaming. I was screaming at the top of my lungs.
What?
Yes. At the top of my lungs, I was screaming, help, help, help. And
that's what used to happen to me.
Because
there were things I was doing wasn't right.
Exactly.
Things I was doing wasn't right. And the minute I go to sleep.
That's it.
All of a sudden, I would see these demons. I would be in, it looked like I'm in my bedroom, but the demons would be throwing me all over the place. I mean, from one end to the other, I'd be thrown around. Until I said Jesus. When I said Jesus, they just disappear.
This is what I'm saying. Every time I had those demonic dreams, like I would, like all the pictures that was on my bedroom wall, they were like all they weren't even pictures of flowers or people. They were demonic, ugly looking creatures. And that one time I was going into I'm sleeping. I'm dreaming this now. And I open up my dresser drawer to get something out of the drawer, and a big snake grabbed a hold of my hand, and it sunk its teeth down into me, and I'm shaking it, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And next thing, it flew off in me, but I didn't die. You know,
but
like,
you know,
this is why sometimes you have these kind of dreams in your sleep, and some people die.
Yeah, but you know what? Why I think we have those that happens to us, because God wants to let us know that it's real.
Yes,
that demonic spirits is real.
They are real.
You understand? Yeah. He want to let you know that it's real. You know what I mean? And so when you say the name of Jesus, he want to know, let you know the power
of the
Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Because when you say that, they just disappear. The whole thing just goes.
Yes, they do. It's
so
like everything comes back to normal.
Yeah.
Everything, when you call on the name of Jesus, everything comes back. Because we are being saved through him, because that's the only way we're going to be saved is through Jesus Christ.
But not only that, every knee must bow, every tongue confess that demons know the name of Jesus. They
that's
know
right.
it.
Mm-hmm.
They know the name of Jesus. That's why
even the
you can
demons
cast off
know
demonic
his name.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
But
yeah.
you have to, after you, when you're casting off demonic spirits and stuff, you have to say the name of Jesus. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So at that name, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus
yes,
is Lord.
Amen.
See, even principalities and powers, the
yes.
devil knows Jesus, you see?
That's
all,
right.
All his,
yeah.
the army, they all know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They know the name of Jesus. Remember that. Remember with Paul, with that woman, where she was following after Paul and
following
giving him those
right,
compliments.
Right.
You know, and when the demon had said, "Well, Paul, I know, but who are you?" Remember that?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Paul, I know, but who are you? Because Paul was following after with Jesus.
Yes.
You see.
Mm-hmm.
And so this other person was not. They weren't following after Jesus. So they suffered the consequences.
Oh yeah.
You know. So
yeah. Because she had didn't she have a demonic in her?
Yeah, she had a demonic spirit.
Right.
Yeah, but Paul detected it. He detected
yes.
that.
Yes.
That's why he was telling her to get away from him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That she had a spirit. She had not a good spirit. He detected that.
Right.
See?
But she was
the spirit
like
in him detected.
Yes. She was something like those people who could throw their voices.
Mm-hmm. Like a ventriloquist or something
right,
like that.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
something is like she's talking, but the voice is coming from another person.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he detected it. You know
mm-hmm.
why? Because when we have the Holy Spirit, we can you know what I mean. The Holy Spirit can give us discernment.
Right.
You know, discernment of what spirit we're dealing with another person.
Yes.
You know. Gives us discernment, you know. That's why it's really good to have the Holy Spirit and know about the Holy Spirit, you know.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
You were saying something?
The lady that was following them, she was a sorceress. She was a diviner.
Mm-hmm.
She was a practice of divination.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, someone who could see the future and predict the future. I don't know if she was throwing her voice. I don't think that's what she was doing. But she could see the future and she would tell the people and they were making money.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons people got so mad when Paul said, you know, get out of her, change her or whatever. Because she was losing, causing them to lose their source of income through her.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She wasn't a ventriloquist. She was a diviner. She was a sorceress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, like,
yeah.
We know sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit will, you know, like, even like if you walking into danger, it
mm-hmm.
will unction you in your spirit. Don't go that way, or, you know, turn back, go another way and stuff. And then later on you hear, oh, you know what happened on so-and-so avenue or street? And you were like, wow, I was going down that street. And something turned me away from there to go another way.
Yeah.
Yep.
He protects you.
He does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
But you have to be, you know, sensitive to the spirit.
Right.
And you have to you know, be sensitive to his voice.
Yes.
You know, because he could talk to you and you don't pay him no mind.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of times when I, when in the beginning I didn't like listen to I just thought it was my conscience talking to me, but you know it's not really my conscience, it's the Holy Spirit inside of me, telling me don't go there, don't do this, don't do that. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna do it anyway. So me and my
mm-hmm.
hard head went on and did it and regretted it later on.
Mhm. Yeah, I experienced something lately. But one of the things the God told me, he said, stand your ground.
Mhm.
So he said, stand your ground. See, and I didn't even know what it was going to be.
Wow.
Yep. And at the time, I was looking all around. I said, well, what is he talking about, staying your ground? What does he mean by that?
No, right?
I okay, that's why you have to be sensitive. You have to be sensitive to the spirit. Okay, and it'll help,
yeah.
really help you. It'll really help you. And sometimes it's a thing, it's a life and death thing. That's why God wants us to be obedient, because it could be a life and death.
Absolutely.
Something life and death. Say, I don't want you over there. I don't want you to go
right.
there or whatever.
Right.
And he might know what those people are planning for you, and you don't know it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And he's protecting you, but because you're not listening, you do what you want to do. That's why God doesn't like when you want to do what you want to do.
Exactly.
He wants you to do what he wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he keeps training you to hear his voice and obey what he tells you to do.
Mm-hmm.
You see, sometimes he gives you instructions. Sometimes he's protecting you from all hurt, harm, and danger.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? He knows what, but he can see way ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why if he gives me instructions, I try to follow it, because I know that he can see farther than me if he sees. He's what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
You don't see it.
That's it.
You don't see it.
Because a lot of times I would get up in the morning and I was like, okay, I'm going to go out to do this and do that today. And then
mm-hmm.
when I get dressed and everything and my mind says, no, don't go today.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would just not go. I would sit down and do my Bible study and stuff instead of going out there to do what I was supposed to go and do.
All right.
I said, wow, there's a reason, always a reason when the Holy Spirit tell you not to do something, you better listen.
Yeah, because God can see what the reason is. He knows what it is. He knows
exactly.
And sometimes it's like it's for your benefit.
Right.
Sometimes if you go, you're going to suffer the consequences.
Oh,
yeah. You know what I'm saying? You could get hurt in some way, wind up in a hospital, you could wind up dead.
That's it.
God tells you, said, look, I don't want you to do this. Don't go over there. You know?
Yeah.
That's what he's telling you. He tells you not to go. You know, and but you have to take him serious at what he tells you.
Yeah.
Yes, and the more you, and the more that you practice with God and listen to Him, the more. Sometimes God speaks to me in a small voice, and sometimes He speaks to me in a more audible voice. And He speaks like when He told me about stand your ground. He didn't speak to me in a small voice.
Oh,
like stand your ground. He didn't say that. He said stand your ground.
Stand your ground.
Just like that. So sometimes He'll come to you in a small, still voice, and sometimes He's coming. Once you get to know Him, and you know, you have that relationship with Him, He can talk to you in a stronger voice than a small, still voice. But it's not, a lot of times, it's not a lot of words.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a lot of words. Like I've talked to somebody on the phone or something, right? And they're telling me they would like me to do something. And you know, while they're talking, God will say, talk over their voice and say, no.
No, exactly.
Just like that.
I'm going to interrupt and say I have to go.
Okay.
Again, happy Mother's Day. I enjoyed the conversation. Wonderful
you
topic,
too.
Mother. Y'all have a blessed one. Love you all. Shalom.
You too. Love you too.
Okay.
Looking for you tomorrow. Mother, I wish you would join us.
No. Well, I have to be obedient to God now. I'm still being obedient. Okay.
Amen. Amen. Praise. God
Amen.
Bless. Yeah,
God.
You know, you gotta obey what God tells you to do. Because if you don't, you're gonna suffer the consequences of your actions.
Not only that, He's going to be upset with you. He's going to be angry with you on that.
Absolutely.
If you're not doing it. If He tells you to do something and you're following what somebody else tells you, you understand?
That's right.
He says, I don't want this and that and the other, and somebody will come along and say, oh, no, I don't think that was God. Well,
exactly.
You know, they said that. Who said that in the Garden of Eden to Eve?
Satan.
When she tried to
That's
tell him
exactly
about God.
That's exactly what Satan said to Eve. No, you won't surely die.
He said, oh, no, you're not going to surely die. That's not God. I don't believe God told you that. Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean. If you feel it's God, you follow it. You understand?
Thank you.
And if it's not God, God will reward you anyway because you were trying to be obedient to Him. You see
exactly.
What I mean? But you must follow what God tells you to do.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? That's what you do.
Yes.
You follow what God tells you to do. And
Amen.
If somebody talks to you on something that they don't want you to do, I said, but you didn't call me. God called me.
Yes.
What did you do? You ain't called me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm here because God called me. That's why I'm here.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So that's the way it goes.
And sometimes God calls you through other people.
Yes.
Like, you know, like I used to be questioning. I said, well, God didn't tell me. He said, God don't always tell you directly. He tells you through others.
Yeah, sometimes because He opens up a way for you and makes room for you.
Right.
You understand?
So
remember that time. You don't always remember. I remember that time when we were at started the church at HMC Ministry.
Yes.
And Pastor was trying to get us to talk, you know. To Well, look. See, look what we're at.
We are talking, right? We've been talking for the past 12 years serving God on this media ministry.
Yeah. And that came through God did that through Him.
Yes.
Remember when we was
down in the subways singing and giving out tracks and coming home all hours of the morning, and then sometimes it would just be the three of us in the church.
Yep. That's how
so God had a work for us to do, so He didn't just let us put us through all of this for no reason. And now look at this. We have like over 55,000 people listen to this program.
Wow.
Over
That's 50, wonderful.
When I checked the total for the thing, it said over 55,700 and something people listening.
Wow.
I was
That's
like,
beautiful.
Wow. Because now pastor have it where it can go all over. Wherever Block Talk is, we're there too. Even
wow.
in Africa.
Oh, that's even, beautiful.
Yes, even in Africa, because pastor has like a charity thing where he, you know, sends things like phones and clothing and different kinds of things to Africa for the people that's still living out in the country part where there's no you know, electricity and stuff, where and he sends things like that for them to have light.
Oh,
you
well,
know,
that's beautiful.
Once it get dark, you know, it's like some of them still live like primitive times.
In the rural area, like the bush.
Yes. Yes.
I know what you're saying.
Right. Yeah. So he's connected with a lady there through that. So, you know, old phones and laptops and things that, you know, we no longer use. He he sends them over to her, and she gives to the family that, you know, have children where the children can learn, you know, the school, go to school and stuff on it, so they could still learn how to read and write and stuff, and where they live, because a lot of them still live in huts and stuff like that, you know, where they have to walk so far to get water, to get clean water.
A lot of Africa is built up too.
Yeah, a lot of parts of Africa is built up, but then you still got a whole lot of poor places that is not built up, and you know, they have to.
I saw on the YouTube where they was talking. They were talking about I can't remember what part of Africa it was, but it's built up, but they also have a rural part. You understand?
Yes.
Because they try to keep their rural part to keep some of their traditions and things going on.
Right,
see?
Right.
They don't want to be too much in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they don't want to come too much out. You know, they like the life where with the buildings and all of that, but they still keep that rural part.
Yes.
And this is what they had said. They said they found out that the people in the rural part live longer than the people in the city.
Absolutely. Because in the city, you got all the smog and the chemicals and stuff. But in the raw part, you don't have all of that. You just have pure nature.
But not only that, in the rural part, they walk, they dance.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? They get out
yes.
of their huts and they're all dancing together and stuff like that.
Exactly.
I don't know what they do in the other part.
The
city part, they act like the city. You know
yes.
what I mean? But in the rural part, they dance, they put on their stuff and stuff like that. They run
Amen.
Around and
yes.
like that. You understand?
Uh-huh.
So because they was making a comparison between
yes.
the rural part and the city part. And and they found out the people in the rural part was living longer than the
yes.
people in the city. They weren't living
wow.
as long.
Yeah,
see,
exactly.
Because they had the jobs probably and, you know, you think you're at your job all day long. You're never outside. You come outside
that's
for lunchtime
right.
and you go back
yes.
to work. You know
and
what I mean?
That's just like here. Just like here in the city, too. The people
well,
that
let me
they,
tell you,
they
remember,
and they die younger.
But let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
Now with this pandemic and people that stayed home,
remember
I told you last night, they're begging people to come back to work.
Yes. Because nobody wants to go back out to work.
They don't
they
want to go back to work.
They do not want to work.
What?
work? What is that? I work at home. I'm comfortable. I can watch my kids. I don't have to pay babysitters or take them to the daycare for them to get sick. And I'm still getting my
bus and the train and all of that. Yeah.
Yes.
You don't have to spend that money for oil for your car and all of that.
Right.
You could save some money.
And they don't have to drive. They just move the car from side to side.
You know? And and like I told you last night, a McDonald's is paying $50 to come in
to interview
for a job. Nobody want to work.
My sister is trying to get her son to get a job, you know, and she's like, a job? Ain't no job. Yes, there is job.
So let me tell you something else. They were saying it's about coming back to work. He said, well, can't we do it in September? Can't we come back in September? Why we got to come back right now? You know,
I know, right? They
want to
wait they want to wait until after the summer finish, and then they can go back to work during the fall.
Yep, that's right.
Well, you can't really blame them, you know, because in the summer weather, you get to go to the beach and you get to do this and do that. But then when the fall comes in,
spoiled, like. You know?
Yeah, of course they are. You know, I mean, come on now. These people been out, been shut down for like 14 months or so. So yeah, they are spoiled. They don't want to go back to work.
They don't want to go back to work.
No, they don't want to go back.
I've been doing what I want to do. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Whether it's inside of the house or whatever. You know what I mean?
They get up,
they do their 8 hours
of work, and they ain't got to dress up. They can just be in their pajamas and have a blouse or a dress or something over the pajamas. As soon as work is over, you take it off and you go back into your pajamas.
Yeah, they don't want to go to work, you know, so
no,
what are they going to do?
They don't.
But maybe eventually they have people gone to work, but you know, it's nowhere near what they had, you know, nowhere.
Right. And I don't think it's ever going to get back to that either.
Because
a lot of people moved out of New York City.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. They moved down to the South, or they moved to Florida, or those, you know, places down there where it's not the economy. It's not as expensive as it is here in New York City because the taxes and everything is just so high.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't even the young people in the South, they not even moving to New York anymore. They staying down in the South.
Yeah. And I think, too, in Florida, I think they're not wearing masks or something like that.
No, they're not. Some places, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
But my son said he still wears his mask, you know, because he only had one shot so far. So and after he gets the second shot, then he will still wear his mask even though he had the shots. Because I still wear mine. I don't go nowhere without my mask. If I'm going in the hallway to the incinerator, I still put my mask on and go dump the garbage. Yes?
I heard something very bad about those masks, but I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, I know. They're not safe, they said. That some of them, you know, you're still breathing in the virus.
It says something else about them masks, but I heard it. But I say I'm not going to repeat it. But I heard something really, really bad. Because it's
what
bad.
What is it?
It might shut us down from this program if I say it. I'm not going to say it.
Oh, we already shut down. We're not recording anymore.
Maybe they can hear me on the phone. I don't know.
No. Once the recording stopped, that's it.
No, I was just talking about the phone. You know, somebody might be listening to you on the phone.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway.
The people that said it, they was trying to shut them down.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and then like we were saying last night, you know, you got to be careful of what you read or what you hear, because it's like false advertisement, you know?
Well, this I don't think is false, but
But they said a lot of things about the mass and everything, so we don't know what to believe. Well, I don't.
Yeah, no,
but I don't use the same mass over and over, because that's why how people get sick, bacteria and everything, because they will wear that one mask until that poor little old mask starts to, shrivel up or a thing. Because if you can smell your own mouth odor in those masks, then you know. You need to toss that one away. That's why they are called, you know, wear and throw.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I have like two boxes. Even my insurance companies, they send me a box of masks, and you know, the city gave us masks, the congressmen, all of them. So that's why I said I have more than enough masks to change every day.
Yeah, I have a box of masks. I have cloth masks.
Yes.
You know.
I do too. My daughter-in-law made me four masks, and she double-lined them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it has a double line. And this is why now with the blue mask, they're telling you to wear double masks. Because sometimes some people do, they put the cloth mask to their skin and put the other mask, the blue mask, over that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if you got asthma, it's very hard to breathe through those masks, period.
Yeah.
Even if you just have on one.
Mm-hmm.
With me, you know, it's hard for me to breathe with two. I wear one, and I, you know, like, I don't worry or scared or anything, because I put my life in God's hands, and whatever his will is, that's what it is.
Yeah,
you know, but I'm not going to, like, you know, do something stupid or jeopardize my life or.
Yeah.
If they say continue wearing your mask, I will continue wearing the mask. Until I know that it is completely safe to not to wear it. And when, right now, I don't see that happening yet.
Because
this virus
because people at the vaccination, they're still having them wear the mask.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely.
Have you been vaccinated, Evangelist Hilda?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Because of my age and my medical health problems, the doctor advised me to be vaccinated. So I went, and I had the Moderna.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, the two shots. Yeah, the two shots. So I had that, and my daughter, she went yesterday to have hers.
Yeah.
So she got her first one. Her husband got his. But her son, he's not old enough yet, because they start at 16, and he's only 13.
Oh,
but they're trying to make it so that, you know, the young children will be able to take the shots. Yeah, because they're the ones that carry the virus around. It doesn't affect them. They just carry it.
Yeah.
So if they living with elderly people, you know, and with chronic ailments, they can infect them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're all in God's hands.
That's right.
Whatever his will is, will be.
Yes.
I just keep myself and my family and friends and the ministry and everybody. I just keep us all prayed up in prayer. That's all
That's
we can
right.
do. Trusting God right. and just do his will. Keep
That's
his
it.
Commandments.
And God well, will protect us, you know.
Yes, he will. He protects us every day that we wake up.
That's
every
right.
day that he blesses us to see another day, that is his protection.
That's true.
Yep. That's why I said I don't worry, because I know that I'm under God's care. And
That's
if
right.
I somehow get it with no fault of my own, then it was meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was meant
yeah.
to be that way. So I'm yeah. not even worried or frightened or all these people saying, oh, I'm not coming outside. Why? You can easily
mm-hmm.
get the virus in your house then as well as you can get it outside.
That's true.
But yeah, because if you have the delivery people coming, you have this one bringing this and that, food deliveries. The germs are all over everything.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning when they were telling us that we have to clean everything before it comes into your house, yeah, I used to spray all the boxes and everything before I bring them in the house, the bags and that I bring the groceries in. I used to wipe everything down. And I'm saying, like, listen, this is ridiculous. Why am I going through all of this?
But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something.
Uh-huh.
They found out that you don't have to do that now. That's why you don't even hear about it no more.
Exactly.
Because they said it doesn't, the thing doesn't live, you know, it dies. It doesn't live. They say you don't, you don't have to worry about wiping anything down anymore. They don't do that no more.
No, they don't. They don't.
You know,
and what
they don't
what,
tell you. You don't see. You don't hear.
Well, they don't tell you, but
wiping.
You know, common sense tells you, you know, what you
well,
have
they used
to do.
To tell you, but now you know they've learned more about the virus. That's why.
Exactly.
I heard that they learned more about the virus, and that's why you don't have to wipe
every
down
day.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah. That's why we haven't really got this big, humongous spread again. You know, yeah, you may get one or two people. And that's only because they have people that travel out of the country and come back, and then they don't quarantine themselves for the 14 days. So now they put it from 14 days to 7 days. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you don't quarantine yourself and you go around your family members or friends, of course you're going to spread it to them. Because even my granddaughter, they had a baby shower for her. And she contracted,
mm-hmm.
she tested positive for the virus.
Oh my
so
goodness.
She had to quarantine, and she was pregnant with the girls. But see,
oh
the girls
goodness.
Had, they had the antibodies
mm-hmm.
from her, from the mother. So they were
yes.
protected from the virus.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yes. The children, it
Just
doesn't
had,
affect
yeah.
the children. It only affects the adults. So the
yes.
children, they were protected from the virus.
Well, that's beautiful.
Thank God for that, you know?
That's right. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
I just had to stand up because I'm getting too tired sitting down.
Oh, okay, Mother. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, happy Mother's Day. Enjoy your
and
day.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
You. Love you. And
love you, too.
Yeah, stand a bit and let the blood flow down because, you know, when you sit too long, because we've been
yeah,
on since 10 o'clock,
it.
And it's now 12:15. So, it's,
mm-hmm.
yeah, with me, my watch tells me to stand up when I'm sitting too long.
Yeah, well, my body tells me.
yeah, mine's too,
yeah.
but I ignore it sometimes.
I can't ignore
but,
it because it starts to get worse. The pain will start to get worse.
Oh, yes, because it's, with
I have
me,
to get up.
Yeah, with the poor circulation. That's what my doctor told me, that I have poor circulation. So this is why I have to move around and stuff instead of sitting too long. So anyway, you enjoy your day. I love you. And
you too. I love you too.
Okay, mother.
I enjoy what we talked about.
Yes, me too. Me too. Yes.
Okay. We was able to talk about something.
Yes, we did. And it was very, very important that, you know, we talk about these things, because that's what the talk hour is all about.
Yeah, and this way, you know, somebody might hear and get help, you know, get some
help
kind of
help.
Else. It might help somebody.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, that was good.
It was.
I said that was really good.
Yes. I kind of figured that Pastor Kathy wouldn't come on today, because if she's preaching tomorrow, sometimes some Saturdays, you know, she has her grandson and he distracts her, and so it's hard for her somewhat on some Saturdays.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, Mother. So you don't have to stay. You can go. I'm just going to close it out.
All right.
Okay. Love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye.